Hello, listeners, and thank you always for supporting us and making us what we are today as a podcast. Sometimes life gets in the way, and we kind of had that experience the last couple weeks, and so we unfortunately don't have a new episode for you, but we've got some really exciting ideas coming up soon. And in the meantime, we're going to play one of our greatest hits from one of our first episodes. So excuse us for some of the quality. This is one of our episodes we did that so far has been one of our highest listened to episodes on conflict management, or how to handle conflict anywhere in the world. So it seems like a fitting time to do an episode like that again. So feel free to listen to this one, conflict management. This is one of our rewind episode. We look forward to next week having a new episode for you. And like I said, we have some new surprises we're working on. So keep on listening. And as always, thank you for supporting us here at Lawnmower in the Fast Lane. Have you been trying to navigate the world around you, feeling like you're behind or you're missing something? Do you feel like you're riding a lawnmower in the fast lane of life? Well, you've come to the right place. Michael Lee and RB will break down and demystify the world of technology, health, and culture, leaving no stone unturned. So join us as we take this lawnmower into the fast lane and ride into the second half of life. Welcome to Lawnmower in the Fast Lane. Hello, Fast Laners, and welcome to Lawnmower in the Fast Lane, where we ensure no person of a certain age is left behind. We're your hosts, Michael Lee.
And RB.
Perfect, and thank you for joining us today, where we're going to talk about emotional intelligence conflict resolution. I'm sure that we won't have that as a title, but it's a very long title.
Michael, I'm calling this conflict management, just to make it easy on myself.
So I know this particular topic was brought up by Miss B. Moen. All full disclosure, this is my aunt. So I don't want anybody to say, like, where are you getting these secret people from? She had a good point of talking about some ways to navigate emotional intelligent conversations with people who have different values. So RB, what is your experience with discussions you may have with people who have different values or different mindsets in regards to tough conversations?
It's limited. I actually kind of have my own personal feeling that I rarely discuss politics and religion with people because I don't see a positive outcome. When you have a conversation on religion with somebody who already knows how they feel, you're not going to change their mind and they're not going to change your mind. Probably. And I don't know that there's an outcome that's different than how everyone felt when the conversation started.
It's just not worth having those conversations? Or do you feel that there are ways that you can navigate around those to have an intelligent conversation about it?
One thing that I did pick up on that I'm probably not going to forget is you're a better person if you can go through a conflict management discussion, you have learned more. In the final outcome, you're a smarter, better person for listening to the other person's perspective. Even if you don't agree with it, you have a broader perspective than you did before that conversation started.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I know I pulled up some points, and we can maybe just kind of, as we discuss going forward a little bit in the conversation, of a site called fastcompany.com, and it's for emotional intelligent ways to accept people who don't share your values. What I thought we could do is maybe go down some of these, but I think we in general tend to bubble ourselves, where it's like an echo chamber, I think is the term it's referred to, where we tend to hang out with people who have our similar beliefs, similar thought system, we think similarly. And the benefit in a way to that is you don't have the conflict. But the downside, of course, to that is you don't get the chance to branch out and maybe expand the way you think and the way your mind processes things.
Completely agree. And I think everyone's probably going to agree with you on that. I know a lot of people that they already know whatever the topic is, the conflicting conversation, the pending conflicting conversation. They kind of already know the other person's perspective, so they're not willing, I guess, to discuss it or listen to the other person talk. And I think that's the beginning of the first mistake you're going to make is not hearing the other person's perspective.
Absolutely. One thing that I think that is really important for us to all realize, we all have such different belief systems based on so many factors, whether it be the way we're raised, whether it be work environment, people that you hang out with. And what I think is real important to realize from both sides is we all just want to be validated that what we feel is right. Whether that be I'm right because I vote this way, or I'm right because I believe this way religiously, more you just want to be validated that your belief system is not wrong.
Right. And I didn't mean to the create conflict by saying right after you said wrong.
Okay, I like that. I didn't take it that way because I was choosing to listen to what you had to say. Well, one of the first things that pulled up in here, I think this will be some great talking points, and I know you did some research too, so I'm really excited to hear what we're able to merge together. The first thing that this article talked about is choosing to learn is the first real step. And the first sentence in there says, if you step back and think about the conversation as an opportunity to learn versus the need to defend, it helps open up dialogue versus a debate.
Exactly. And I think the maybe even a step before that, emotions are usually the biggest downside to a conflicting conversation. And if you do like you had said, start by listening to the other person, emotion that keeps emotions from escalating at the very beginning of the conversation.
It's interesting because, and part of the next part of this article said, somewhere along life's path, learning's replaced with knowledge. Yet, if we make the choice to learn from others' perspective, learning can be lifelong and knowledge can grow versus sustain. And so, I think that is, and I think we can even apply this over the last year. And I think a lot about race relations being a white, middle-aged man, I think that I do want to learn things I don't know.
And I
And I,
think that's a healthy way of looking at it.
right. And I agree. I think that, I watch a lot of videos about way people react, probably some that make me angrier than others. And I feel that a lot of miscommunications do come from not choosing to learn. It comes from, I'm going to tell you how I feel. I'm going to emotionally tell you exactly what I'm thinking. When I was younger and I worked with trans people, for instance, and transgender people, I didn't understand it. And some people would say, well, I'm against that. That's bad. But I personally took it to say, I don't know how this works. I don't understand what that means. And do you find ever that when you are having tough conversations, how do you start off those conversations if you've had them?
Well, most of my conflict came from work. I was a service industry employee for almost 40 years probably. So I dealt with a lot of people in a lot of different situations, and I actually developed a couple of tricks, I guess, for myself, and I only say it that way because I didn't never saw anyone else using those, but my first option would be to try to, and I would say this to myself, kill them with kindness. I would try and be as friendly as I could to the person I was working with And that put them in almost a defensive position, especially if other people were around. It's hard for them to be kind of confrontational when you're trying to be as nice as you can, for instance. That's one trick that I would use. I mean, that's how I would start those conversations. You know, I'd be open and honest. Hey, hi, how are you? Gosh, you know, I know you got a problem. Let's sit, you know, what can I do for you? How can we figure this out? Tell me, you know, I'll do what I can. And that's how it would start.
I think that's a great way to do it, is start from scratch and just kind of clear your mind. I think a lot of times having that conversation, but before you start not walking in with all your preconceived thoughts, I think it's one of those things. It's similar to the idea in communication that I need to listen to you and not think about what my next words are, because that's not active listening. Is to say, I'm going to listen to you, understand you, and then respond from there if it's appropriate, rather than you're talking, you're sharing, and then I'm hearing you responding in my head, and then I'm getting more angry because I'm like, I didn't vote that way. I don't believe that. I don't believe this. And it just creates a lot of sub-internal anger prior to even having the conversation.
It sounds like you, did you say vote? I didn't vote that way.
I used that as an example.
Yeah. And that's what I thought. And I think that's a good example to discuss. So I think the main thing, as far as I'm concerned, is you're not listening to the other person. You just want to spill out your thoughts and your feelings and your emotions to the other person. And dang it, I want to do it in a way where you're going to start thinking my way. I think that's how these conversations are starting these days. It seems like, with, you know, racial conflict and political conflict, it seems like there's so much negative stuff around here. And I think they're starting in that real combative way. It's not a listening conversation. It's a I'm telling you how it is conversation. And one thing that keeps coming to mind is there's kind of a street slang that's used, I think, these days, and it's disrespect. You're not respecting me. You're being disrespectful towards me. And I think what that equals is you're not listening to what those people are saying. You're just not even listening. You don't even hear it. That's disrespect on the street. I feel it's a lack of listening skills.
I think a lot of it is ego. I'm going to tell you what I think and I'm right. And then if you disagree, well, then you're telling me that I'm obviously wrong. And if I'm wrong, then that means I'm a bad person, I think, is the circle that goes down. The second, well, and that leads actually into that second step that in this article, which is, and I think this is amazing. I actually use a phrase that all the time, but what I'll first read this part off. It says, recognize that seeking to understand does not mean agreement. It says, remember the difference between judging and prejudging is understanding that in order to understand, you really need to be willing to listen and to learn. And Winston Churchill famously noted that by saying, when two people agree with each other, one of them is unnecessary. I think it's a great quote.
Yeah, it's kind of to the point.
Yeah, it goes back to that echo chamber. The thing that I really do like about this, and I say this sometimes when I get into some heated debates with friends, whether it be a work issue or whether it be religion or church or, you know, anything that somebody disagrees with me on, I sometimes will say, well, we're just going to have to agree to disagree on that.
And if I can butt in here and say, recently did a episode on mental health episode. One thing I really felt strongly about was let it go. Do not hold that on. And I'm not saying in a conflict management situation, if you don't let it go, you're going to have a mental illness. I'm just trying to say it's all part of there's a fabric that everything's connected in a way. And you need to learn to let some of this stuff go. It may not be that important if you're a Christian and I'm a Catholic. I just don't know that it's worth carrying that stress and angst around the rest of my life.
Well, and sometimes getting in a fight, in my mind, I know a couple coworkers every once in a great while. We have a very different view and opinion of the way to respond to things. And I want to be right. They want to be right. And sometimes it is taking a moment, just a brief moment, to say, is this even worth responding to? Because we're not going to agree on this. What I want to do is just say something and I want to be right. But the other person wants to be right. And sometimes it is a matter, I really believe, of taking a moment, step back and go, what's really going on here? I read a book. I don't know how everybody feels in the world about different kinds of self-help books, things of that sort. But years ago, I read a book that was really life-changing for me. It changed my entire life about how I try to have conversations when they're big things. And it was The Art of Happiness that was written in conjunction with the Dalai Lama. And that book brought a lot of clarity to my mind about the way that people sometimes respond. A good example that he used in the book, or the example used in the book, was you get on a plane and somebody is just being really rude and disrespectful in your mind, and you sit down there being yelling, and you're just, I'm just, why? Like, you get all upset and flustered. And the Dalai Lama said, well, you know what? You don't know what just happened to them on their way here. They might have been running late. They had a meeting. Maybe they got fired. Maybe their family member died. And if you were to embrace the feeling you're having of ilk towards that person, you're now going to make A, their day worse. They just need somebody to just say okay or leave them alone, or because that's the thing, is sometimes even just saying, oh, it's gonna be okay, it doesn't help. It's just more embracing, though, that knowing what they're going through may not be as important as what you're going through, and that it's okay to just agree. And that's a tough thing for all of us, I think, because of that whole ego that we have.
Yeah, I think you're right. And in your example there, what I saw was that person needing to let something off of their chest also, not just say, "Hey, it'll be okay," but let it out. What's the deal? What are your problems? And once they vent that,
In customer service for so long that I know a lot of, especially over the phone, that sometimes people on the phone especially want to just yell and scream at you. And I have gotten into the habit, and I learned this years ago, especially being on the phone end of things, I just say okay, and I let them yell and scream and rant and rave, and they just go, and I don't say a word. I just don't say anything. And then eventually they get done and they say, hello, are you still there? I'm like, yes, I was just waiting for you to finish because I didn't want to interrupt what you were saying. 90% of the time, people will go, oh. And it's funny how many people afterwards just, most of the time, will actually apologize. Oh my gosh, I am so sorry, Michael, that I went off on you. And I always say, you know what? You needed to get that off your chest, obviously. So we're good now. So now let's move forward.
yeah, I think that's a perfect management skill right there. I mean, that's for a phone conversation, that's how you should do it. And the way it sounds to me, you're giving them the impression you're listening, which hopefully you are. You're listening to them, and hopefully their problem will be solved. I think the reason they're doing that, maybe probably the last people they were talking to on the phone, they opted and said, "I'm going to transfer you over to the right people," or something like that.
Think even when you were talking about this here, where we're, recognizing that understanding doesn't mean agreement, I think maybe this also, though, can show that somebody can disagree with you and be able, maybe that person now in the future won't feel like everybody's out to get them. They can go, I just, that person disagreed with me, and now I can talk to somebody else, and maybe it'll go good. Maybe it won't, but maybe it will.
Yeah, well, it'll give that person the impression that not everyone is the polar opposite of those people that are. There are maybe people in between, sort of people you can at least talk to about it, not agree with, but talk to, as opposed to someone that's like, you're wrong. You know, I'm getting in your face and I'm telling you that you're wrong. There should be something in the middle there.
Well, the next step on here that they have is, and this one, I honestly think that I struggle a lot in this one. So that's why not only is this helpful, I hope, to our listeners, but then I think we can gain some stuff out of this too. Embrace curiosity and patience, yet acknowledge emotion. And it says, values is a big word, and it's linked to self-concept and identity. And curiosity helps seek out understanding and acknowledge and embraces difference. I get emotional when I'm in a disagreement. I'm very emotional about it. I want it to be fixed. This here can apply to, I think, one-on-one communications. This could apply to any conversation that could be potentially be heated, is being able to acknowledge your emotion, but then also embracing the curiosity and patience. I think sometimes that even means saying, I'm not really understanding where you're coming from. Explain this, what you're saying to me, and in order for us to have enough patience to embrace the curiosity, so I know what you're going through. So help me figure out what it is that we can do to embrace our difference, but also acknowledge that this is emotional for me. That's a tough one because it's kind of a big, heady one.
In business, when you have issues you're trying to solve, they like to take this big issue and break it down into small little pieces, and you can find common ground, and maybe you can break this issue down into seven segments, and you can be in agreement on partial agreement on three of the segments, and then two of those other four segments, you're never going to be close to. You almost maybe that'll lower their temperature potentially a little bit too, and then that resolution can come a little easier maybe, and kind of talk about the other ones.
Well, I think it is interesting to think about if you break things down. The you giving that an example made me think about a field I know nothing about, and I bet emotions can get really heated. I was thinking about advertising, and advertising executives and these people that do advertising, and one person has to bring their idea and their topic and stand in front of a group and present, and they've put hours of work into this marketing for a canned soup, I don't know, randomly. And now here comes, company number two. Now they're going to get up and they're going to present their version of what this can of soup and how it should be promoted. And you get these people in this room, and both of them go, no, my idea is right. And no, the other person's saying, no, my idea is right. And there is a lot of emotion involved in that because both from the people who are presenting, because they've just put all this work and they believe that what they've done is right and shows a value within that work. And then you've got the people who are making the decisions on which one they're going to choose, and they have to make this decision of, I feel emotional because this is my brand that's sticking there. And the other person's saying, right, it is our brand, but I feel this way about it. And instead of everyone's going to have a different vision and a different view, and being able to come into the middle and set aside your ego a little, but also acknowledging that this is an emotional decision. This is our brand. This is who we are. This is where I want to be represented this way. And having that conversation is really hard because everybody's emotions get high because they put their heart and soul in it.
Yes. And actually, another good example would be religion, like we talked about before.
Yeah.
One's a Catholic, one's a Christian. They do have things in common, believe it or not. They go to church, they do pray, they have commonalities that they can both agree on. And then they have other things that they don't agree on. So, better example than the business one I was given earlier that I didn't have an.
With this, it's that embracing curiosity. So a topic because years ago, I remember talking to a group of Mormon people. I went through the Mormon church at one point in time, having a conversation and was comparing it because that's how my brain works to the Catholic Church. And boy, did I just start a fire by doing that? I mean, it was really wild. And I thought, well, logistically, they're the same thing because structurally, you got the Pope, you've got your prophet, you've got your Quorum of the 12, you've got, your diocese. And I know I was heated about it, but my feelings were really hurt at the time. I was much, much younger. Boy, was my feelings hurt. And I think it could have not had all these people being really hurt if they were able to just go, well, explain again why you feel that way. Or I'm not following, but maybe I can ask some questions that will understand why you feel so impassioned by this. And even myself, I could have probably been better, but I mean, I was much younger and didn't understand how to have these emotionally intelligent conversations.
Yeah, that's good. And values, you brought up included values, and religion is, I don't, well, politics and religion, those are the strongest values, emotional values people can possess, I think.
Well, the last part of this fourth step is the stay active in the conversation. This is another one that I think that is a challenge for a lot of us. I know I struggle with it too. It even mentions here that while emotions are definitely present, no one walked away in frustration and no one sat passively aggressively while the other spoke. It's just very interesting because they got so emotionally heated, and I thought, okay, I'm really confused here. Can you explain to me what the difference is? Because structurally, I'm not saying at our core value system, but I'm saying structurally they're the same. And that's where I think that embracing curiosity, because their first response for the people I was asking these questions to was, no, our church is different. We're not Catholic. Where I thought, well, I'm not saying that you're Catholic. I'm just saying structurally, these are set up the same way. And now we're going to have people probably listening to our podcast going, Michael's comparing the Catholics to the Mormon church. And I'm not. I'm just
Yeah.
talking about structure. And you can have a smart, intelligent debate. You can actually have a conversation and not get angry and upset. I, like I said, I struggle with this because I want to hear sides, but when I don't believe something that somebody's saying, I sometimes have a hard time accepting it. And that's, I think, where we all struggle. Have you had any success talking to somebody who had completely different views on something? Probably not. And I'm thinking not like in a workspace where we have to kind of be professional, but on a personal level where you've seen something and gone, I totally do not believe anything you're saying. And when you did, how did you navigate that?
Now that's an interesting question. I lunched today with someone who was expressing some of their thoughts on politics, and I was let them talk and talking about all kinds of things that are happening and that are going to happen and politically to our country and the world and how it's all set up. Wheels are in motion, and I was like, huh. Well, my reaction was a little standoffish, I guess. I just basically said, well, I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes. I wasn't in agreement, but I think jumping back when you were talking about that, I think there's other people or people that have experienced more conflict, manage those things differently than young people. Their emotions are more in check than when you're 20 years old and you got all the and you know the answers, and dang it, why aren't you guys thinking the way I'm thinking, sort of. So there may be a age difference in there, but I also think there's cues. I think we've all sat in a conference room maybe or with employees, and when you're talking, you're presenting your point, and their expressions, their body language is telling you, even though they're not verbally saying anything, they're blinking their eyes or they're nodding their head or they're doing something. it's kind of a negative, he's kind of a patient. They're expressing their emotions without saying anything. I think that's really common. And I think that's a fault that a lot of people have. And I think people need to make sure that that's not active listening when you're doing that. When I'm telling you how creating conflict, and I think what we're supposed to do is managing conflict.
I think you did hit on a good point. I think it's really important as well. I think if you are really actively trying to have a healthy, conflicted conversation, if while you're trying to share, your personal view on, and they're sitting there with their arms crossed and giving a scowl, and then why would you want to continue to share? And we have the ability for ourselves to be able to say, okay, I'm not going to do that and listen, but it's really hard. It's just really hard.
That's where the curiosity comes in, though, from the listener's standpoint. If they're telling you something you don't want to hear or that you don't believe, that's when your curiosity and your questions come into play. You can change that conversation to try and get more information out of the person other than what they want to tell you. I mean, communication skills aren't that good. I may be thinking one thing, and this is what I really want to tell you, but I get that out. All I can say is the one thing that's I'm most emotionally attached with, and I keep spitting that one out over and over again.
My head, while I was thinking about an example, once again, when I was much younger, I'm learning a lot of skills through all of this stuff here that we're learning. I had a friend, and he seemed very liberal. He seemed very open-minded. And I remember during an election time, and I said, "Who are you voting for?" And he goes, "The Republican candidate, of course." And I said, "Oh." I mean, I got all, like, my whole reaction in my body went, "But you're not a Republican. Like, why would you say that?" My whole core felt violated. It sounds so weird. I thought this whole concept of, I thought I knew you. And when I said, the first thing that just popped out, and I said, "So if I can ask, vote Republican, I really want to know." And I think that was a lesson. I think that's what we all could say is, but phrasing it in a way that's more, I think, I'm not super familiar with, well, that's not a good example. We're familiar with Democrats and Republicans, but saying, I'm just curious. So what would make you want to vote Republican? My response was, why?
Yeah. And he said, right. Putting them on the defensive at that point.
Exactly. Well, his response was, "Well, my parents always did, so I'm supposed to." And I was much younger. He was younger. I look back and I think, wow, what a great conversation that we could have had. But we both were kind of like, we had our hair on edge, and we were like, such a powerful moment that now he probably, I'm sure, I mean, this was 15 plus years ago, but now maybe he's like, "I don't want to go and have this conversation because I had it with a really close friend and it was really weird and awkward." And instead of having a situation where you literally could say, "I really am not familiar why you would vote that way. So why? What makes you feel this way?" I've since had some of those conversations with friends, and to question that when, your whole life you've worried about fiscal responsibility. And from view, maybe Republicans are historically more fiscally conservative, whereas Democrats may not be. So you're going to side in that era. But most of us don't even get that far. They say, "Oh, they voted Republican. Ugh."
Yeah, it's a personality contest for most of the people.
Exactly. And so it's very interesting to have that conversation and be able to learn. For me, like I said, I feel like it gives you that opportunity to learn about yourself and learn about the other person. And even if it's something like a argument between you and a spouse. And this is the thing I'm not good at with sometimes when it's a heated debate with friends or with family sometimes is stopping and saying, let's breathe on this, solve this. I want us to get the fight out with, let's get this out and get it done. And I feel it's real important to listen. Everybody wants to be validated. If we can't be validated, we're not going to share our experience and we're not going to share our story. And that's the thing is we all want to be heard. And whether you're a Republican, a Catholic, view, and everybody wants to be valued and respected and cared for in what they believe. Say, I think pizza is the best thing in the world. No, there's no better food. And you say, I think pizza is disgusting. Well, I still want to be valued. I don't, I think a better way maybe for us to phrase, it's great you like pizza. I've never really been a big pizza fan. Is there a certain reason that you like pizza, or did you grow up liking it? Why do you like pizza? Or if you don't want to get that deep, just say, wow, I just never really liked pizza. It's just never like sort of surprised me because I'm not as I've learned a lot, let's say that over the last four and a half years. Some of my friends have said, one of my coworkers said that she voted for the Republican Party because she, this was the last election, because she believes, she doesn't believe in abortion. And that's when I actually learned, which I had never heard before, about one party, single party voters. And I said, well, what about everything else? She goes, well, that's not the most important thing to me. The most important thing to me is I'm against abortion. I said, well, do you have any challenges though with the things, other things that they do? She goes, I can get over just about anything, but I cannot get over abortion.
I think that's an outstanding example. That's the conversation. You had an in-depth conversation. You asked questions as the person that was caught off guard, and they were in questions that informed you. I think it's okay. I think it's okay for your first friend to vote Republican because his parents did. He's just making his decision the best he can. And your other friend that is, goes for abortions, I think it's okay for her to vote. I personally, I mean, that's just how I feel. I don't want these people to vote how I vote because they need to see things how I see it. If it's abortion isn't important to them, then I think they need to vote for what's important to them. I think it's totally fine.
I feel that it is a great way for us to learn how people operate and the way people tick is to ask those questions. Because I think we do in society in general, and especially as we get older, sometimes we do get stuck in what we know. A friend would be a great opportunity to say, well, what kind of food do you like? What's your favorite food? And then you get into a conversation about food. Pizza, burgers, whatever it is. It's a really silly example, but I think that it's a microcosmic version of the big things.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's interesting to hear you use examples. I mean, when you're talking, is I'm thinking, no matter what side of that conversation you're on, you like pizza, I don't. Most don't like pizza that say they kind of say it in a you're wrong for liking pizza way. They say, well, I don't, or I don't like pizzas. They should be changing their communication to extract information on both sides of the coin. Or if I'm the pizza guy that I like pizza and the other guy says, I hate pizza, and then I can maybe.
And if you step back, I bet money that that person that's reacting that way, I don't like pizza, is probably because they've spent a lifetime having people tell them, what? You don't like pizza? What's wrong with you? Is there something wrong with you? And they probably just to the point that they just say, ugh,
Well, I mean, they could just be conflicters too. There's a lot of people out there. I know people. They just aren't in agreement. They're just not going to agree. And they're kind of a negative entity out there.
navigate. So you say you've known people like that. How do you navigate? I think this is a good part of having those conversations. How do you navigate somebody who is just negative?
I'm not saying I do it right, but I just ignore them. I ignore their, negative, kind of away from it as soon as I can. It's like, we were talking about in mental health, you kind of purge the toxicity in your life.
Yeah.
You just say, or I just
Yeah,
move on.
I think that's a good thing. Just sometimes, once again, coming back to that, we're just gonna agree to disagree.
Yeah, you need to let it, you need to learn to let a lot of that stuff go. We're all going to run into those people, whether they're the cash register or, the cab driver or your next door neighbor. They're just, some people are going to be, they feel happy around them. They're not going to feel happy. They're going to come across as kind of someone that you just don't want to be. I guess to me, it's just someone I don't want to be around.
Yeah, I like being around more open-minded people, but I also really love to learn things I don't understand. My view, but I do know sometimes it's just you're not going to win. It's just very challenging.
Yeah. So I have one here that for you. I'm from Portland, Oregon, and so are you. And we used to have, when we were living there, we would have a protest that takes place. I think Black Lives Matter was protesting. And then, you correct me if I'm wrong, then the opposing Antifa, I think people or people with guns would show up and they would decide they're going to protest right there next to the Black Lives Matter people. So that's definitely a conflict, and those groups are so single-minded in how they feel about things. I don't know how to manage that one. I don't know if you've got thoughts or feelings on something like that.
I honestly stay away from it. It's not the I don't know if it's the right answer, but I'm sure in me wants to say, can people just get up and just talk about why they're so angry about all this? But I think that comes back to one of our first things we talked about, which is it's that echo chamber. You know, there's these people who they see the Black Lives Matters and they don't see outside of that. And any judgment on Black Lives Matter protesters either, but they're in their bubble. These other people are in their bubble, and nobody's going up to the line like in a movie and saying, "Why do you believe this? Why do you believe this?" And that's where that echo chamber can be good for some people because you have a community. There's the other echo chamber, and instead of them sitting down and having a debate that's healthy or listening to the other side, that's a point when, you know, they're just contentious. And that's a point when you have to walk away and say, I this, and my way to stay emotionally healthy is to step back and not be in the middle because it's not going to solve anything. And the sad part is that it's caused so much strife. And it's caused more damage because specifically nobody is having any kind of emotionally intelligent confliction.
I agree. They're not having those conversations. I don't know if they would be able to solve anything, but they're certainly not having open-minded conversations with each other.
I think an example of how not to communicate. You just have too many people who believe that what they think is right. I think that is a good example of it's a bigger example of the individual, but it's a smaller version of war. So much what happens in war.
I think that's exactly how war works. I often wonder if people were forced to sit down, heads of warring communities were forced to sit down with each other and talk. I often wonder if war can be avoided.
We've seen it happen in history where people will sit down and sign treaties and come to pacts to get over it, but it takes so much work and so few examples of that happening.
Yeah, I think.
Want to be involved, and I think that's a point where you step back and say, I'm going to be involved in different ways. I'm going to have conversations with people who I
I bet there's a lot of work, and a lot of times just humans in general want to do things the quick and easy way.
absolutely. So it's so yeah, so my thought on these different groups, it's a challenge to have an intelligent conversation with. Even if they disagree with me, I can just sit and have a one-on-one conversation, or maybe even, at a table and have a great debate and walk away. And I hope I learn something. I hope they learn something. The ego in us says, I hope that when I leave, they do what I say. But that's obviously, that's not the purpose. And that's where we have to put aside our ego and say, I've had some really any of that when I started, and now I have more of an understanding. It's not my thing, but now I at least understand.
Okay, and then I have another one for you. I'm wondering also, conflict isn't increasing due to information sharing, the internet, basically. People, so you're talking about the bubble and people that think like me, and if I'm able to develop blogs and get followers and convince people that I actually saw President Biden kicking a dog and I have pictures of it and he's a horrible person and everyone's in agreement. I wonder if the internet and social media is kind of helping to turn smoldering into a little more of a fire these days.
I think that that is the case. I think that we have so much information at our hands, and so many people with so many thoughts, with so many views, and so many values. I think everybody is entitled to their views. I think the problem that I see with social media is that everybody has to share every single view they have on every single thing all the time. And in some, and I think sometimes it's an overwhelming thing, but it also leads to conflict because it's one-sided when you post something. So you can post something and say, global warming is a sham. I think that global, this is not my own personal view, just for our listeners, but not that it matters. But you can post something that says, global warming is a sham. There's no such thing. All these liberal people, all they want to do is take away our rights and ruin the world by not listening to those of us who know that this is not true. Now you've now put that out on the internet. That's your view. And now you get to screen what anybody says in your comments. So somebody says, I really think that you're not right on this. I feel that it's more complicated than this. So you can now reply and go, well, you're an idiot. And then it turns in, and I've read it before. I mean, honestly, I in a weird way like reading the debates because I like to see communication-wise how this all breaks down. Almost always it turns into just one person's view and you're not going to change it. The problem with social media is it makes people angrier because you can hide behind a keyboard and share your opinion, but there's never real accountability to have a conversation in front of a person, which I think is why it's not an emotional, intelligent conversation because there's no emotion involved. It's my view, you're wrong. Anybody who tries, I rarely, I've seen it a couple times, have seen somebody post something like an opinion that's a real strong opinion, and then you look through the comments and somebody says, it's a good way to think about it. I will never forget the one that I saw, and it was really heated, and there was like 150 comments to do with tipping. Should you tip in restaurants? And how much should you tip? This person believed that if you get bad service, you should never tip. You should never tip, over a certain amount because they believe that Employers should pay their employees enough that they don't need to tip. They don't tip in other countries, and it went on and on. This person also seemed to forget that they have 12, 15 people that are in the restaurant industry on their friends list. Somebody puts in there, well, unfortunately, you know, the way we're set up in our country, this is the way that it is, and we tip, and that's based on our wages. We can't make that decision on what our employers do. Instead of somebody saying, wow, that's a really good view, like I hadn't thought about it that way. Instead, the person just, well, maybe you should find a job where you don't need to get tips. Like, I mean, and it just turns into this whole thing. I often wonder if you were sitting in front of that person having that conversation, would you have that same attitude? Would you be quite that strong-minded?
I doubt it, especially if the other person had communication skills, or maybe both of you had emotional communication skills where they were able to listen and communicate with the nonverbal negative body language and correct communication skills. They could probably not.
Side to that as well with the social media is that somebody could put something like that on there using the example of tipping, even. You don't believe what they're saying, it's against your belief. You know, it's not gonna, and this is how I am sometimes. If I read something like that, I'll say, well, I'm not gonna change their mind and I disagree with this person. And you watch in the chain as they're arguing with people and making all these comments and you don't agree. And next thing you know, you're like, I don't even wanna be friends with this person. I don't even want to know this person. You delete them from the social media and it turns into a thing. Whereas if I'm in front of you and we're having this conversation, I can look at you and I can go, yeah, we can agree to disagree. I've seen it in my own life where I'll read something, whoa, what did they just say? And I have the response of, do I respond? Do I say something? When I hang out with that person, I have a great time and it's never been an issue. We've never even talked about that. Do I continue to do that? And I've kind of been in the middle with a lot of that. You know, when somebody would say something.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. So if I can take this full circle, I guess I'm not done with my query. Just like you, I tried to study up on this episode of conflict management and how it was to do. And I've come to the conclusion this on the internet, the information that's there, it's kind of directed at personal relationships and business relationships. Conflict management on the internet is not available. We're behind. I mean, there's a whole field out there. There's not information on the internet that tells us how to manage internet conflicts and other conflicts. It's basically personal conflicts is all that's out there. And I think the internet's moving faster than than society's moving in a lot of ways.
Scientists are really going, probably spinning their heads trying to figure it all out because it happens so quickly and in such a mass.
Yeah, and it's kind of a consequence of when they had to dub our past president Trump. They've cut him off of social media because he was creating conflict. I think that's what it was. Maybe it's not conflict he was creating. He was creating, I'm not exactly sure. Maybe he just wasn't telling the truth. I don't know. But that can't be the system because Facebook, for instance, they can't monitor 50 billion people's habits and they can't do that. So there has to be a new set of rules out there that I guess society needs to follow, just like what we're talking about for individuals.
It'll be interesting going forward to see how social media will change and skew because I feel, for lack of a better term, I feel it's gotten worse. Too many people, too many views, all trying to share them. And I think COVID has made it even more of a challenge because people can't leave their homes. So you sit at home and you stew, and someone's going to say, why? What do you think about this? You know, I've seen so many debates over vaccinations. People will express them, people will share them. How do you have that healthy, intelligent conversation? Yes.
So I'm sorry. For those of all our listeners, I was raising my hand, but I just wanted to say, ask real quick. You've seen a lot of debates on vaccines. Have you seen intelligent debates? Have you seen them? Have you seen debates done kind of how we're trying to describe a conflict management needs to be?
I have not honestly seen many. I mean, I'm trying to think if I've seen one. Once again, I get a little in my echo chamber. Most people I know personally have been vaccinated. We obviously believe that, but I've talked to a few people and they, opposite side of what happens, instead of being a debate or a conversation, they won't talk about it. And they'll say, I don't believe in being vaccinated. Oh, okay. And I don't want to talk about it because everybody keeps ripping on me and people keep saying things about me, why I should do it. And then you can't have that conversation because then they're already shut down. I really wanted to have an intelligent conversation. I've had a couple. I obviously have taken the time to try to learn these skills. They're really hard though when you have people who have lived for 65, 70 years that have had these views, they've never changed.
Yeah, I think there's might be a tendency for your world to shrink as you age. You're not as open-minded as you were when you were 15. You're 75. There's a chance anyway. I don't know. I'll find out. I'll tell you in a couple of years.
While I was researching this, one of the things I did read was, as you get older, that you just literally said exactly what the article said in a nutshell. I just had a moment where I was thinking about, you know, we talked about these protests. You know, you don't really see a lot of 65, 70 year olds at these protests. It makes me just think, if it's because some of the people are not able to have those intelligent conversations because they haven't learned those skills yet.
I think the old people aren't there because they make emotional decisions. I mean, intellectual decisions. I think they can keep their emotions in check better, is what I'm trying to say. Young people, yeah. they want you to know how they feel and they want you to know loud.
Wow, what a great conversation this has been. I really think it's really great, and I would love, really, really love great feedback from some of our listeners. Our inbox has been a little empty, so we haven't gotten a lot of feedback yet, but really would invite anybody to go either to our social medias, call us at lawnmowerinthefastlane@gmail.com. Really, really would love to hear what other people out there have done in regards to handling issues. How do you handle these? How do you handle social media? I know we have some listeners that are not in the 40 plus range. And I would really love to know, how do you handle social media when there's conflict? I really invite people to email us. And I say that passionately only because I really, really want to know.
Actually, if I can just butt in here, I don't want the conversation to be, how do you handle social media conflicts? Because I think in general, most people just, the easy way out, they just delete, yeah, or they'd say F you. And I think what we need is, what's a good way to handle social media conflict? What's the proper way? Let's do this. Let's think about this and try and take the high road.
I guess that any other tips people may have in general for handling this conflict, their experiences, I really would love to hear what other people think on this, because, you know, we can do research till we're, you know, dog tired and we're falling asleep at the computer, but I would love to hear just some real world things. Like I said, you can message us on social media if you're too scared to email us. Or you can, like I said, email us. We're really excited to try to get some feedback. And it would be a great topic that I really would love to just hear people's thoughts on it. RB, just to kind of wrap up our great episode we've had, and a little bit lengthier than normal, which is perfectly fun and exciting in my mind. What, in a nutshell or final thoughts, do you have in regards to communication and conflict?
I think it's easy. I think everyone has the skills. I don't think anyone uses them. And those skills involve listening to the other person, actually listening without doing a yawny kind of a thing where you hold your hand to your mouth and act like they're boring you, or roll your eyes or anything. Actually listen to what they say. And be prepared beforehand to accept, you know, maybe they're a Republican because their parents all voted Republican. Get it. And live with that, or whatever the issue is. Maybe they like pizza because they're Italian and their parents own a pizza joint, you know. But I think takes place in our hearts. We need to listen better. We need to be prepared to listen to these people, not necessarily believe what they say. And I also think we need to find ways to say things back to them that don't offend them. I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done. I'm a Toastmaster person. They teach you a lot of skills in Toastmaster. Listening is one of them, and communicating to the other person in a way that your point across. If you're good, if you practice, you can get your point across without any conflict. People talk with their emotions on high. They let you know how they feel up front, almost an agitated way, state in a lot of ways. And that they need to come at it. All these things need to be discussed at a low level. There you go. I don't know if I said that right, but how about you? What do you think? What's your takeaways?
My takeaway is, doing this and researching, I feel stepping back sometimes is really the best thing, and getting out of your own headspace. I think I struggle with this because I am very passionate with the things I believe in. Reviewing and seeing some of these skills, I actually am kind of excited to go out and try to have more intelligent conversations. The next time that I have somebody who disagrees with me and my belief system, really just want to put my ego aside, really work hard to understand. I feel like the more that we all can do that and step back, try to understand somebody else, all it can do is better you, better the other person, better the world, as cheesy as that may be. I really think that it's doable. I think it's something that's doable if we're open to that change.
I think it'll make for a better you also. You know, you're not going to hold a lot of anxiety and angst towards people if you can develop the skill to talk to other people without a lot of high emotion. And if I can learn how to talk to everyone else around me in a manner that we can have intelligent conversations, and I've done my job and my blood pressure is where it needs to be.
Well, thank you so much, all of us fast laners out there. Thank you for listening. And as always, we look forward to talking with you some more next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Lawnmower in the Fast Lane. Please join us next week for more Gen X discussion. And don't forget to like us and follow us on your favorite podcast listening channel. You can find us on Twitter at LawnFastPodcast, Instagram at LawnmowerInTheFastLanePodcast, and Facebook at LawnmowerInTheFastLanePodcast. We also invite you to email your thoughts and comments and ideas for future topics and ways to improve this podcast at LawnmowerInTheFastLane@gmail.com. Until next week, thank you, goodbye.